Third and final hour here, Robbie and Rex on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Paul Kaharski in for Robbie today here on the program, sponsored by Chuck McDowell Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game National Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. And we're reacting right now to Brian Callahan, Titans head coach, came on, I thought a really fascinating and illuminating interview, PK. Your number one takeaway from what we heard there from Brian Callahan?
Well, I hope little Ronan forgets words as easily as he learns them.
I love that he's saying the words too. He's like, "What? Yeah, hey. I mean, yeah. You hear a word, you say a word, right?"
That's a great, great visual. Yeah, I do think a coach with young children brings a certain energy and vibe. I mean, I thought it was really interesting what he said about coaching at Sarah as a young coach who had to teach like the extreme basics of everything. What is a slant? How do you put on your helmet? You know, how do you tie your cleats?
Yeah.
And going from that into Denver as a low level assistant and kind of the appreciation for having taught the most simple things and carrying that into the biggest environment. The dichotomy of those two things, but how they're also kind of linked. And that's pretty interesting stuff. So
yeah.
I thought that was interesting. I thought he was terrific. And I thought we did a hell of a job. I'll pat us on the back.
It was a good interview. I'm with you. I think the anybody who wants to dismiss Peyton Manning, not a sane soul out there would say Brian Callahan developed Peyton Manning. No one would say that. Learned a lot.
He's in
from
the front row.
Right, and also
and he's doing great work for
he gained his respect. That's the thing. And again, I'll refer like the Pompeii piece on that had some really good stuff. But that's one question I actually wish we had time for. Who would be next closest in your? Because the thing is, as Brian Callahan has talked about, he went from Peyton Manning to Matthew Stafford. Very different. Not that kind of guy. Competitive, talented, all that stuff. Great player. But I'd like to know
bigger arm too. Like
yes,
different
can
kind
do
of
things you can't do with Peyton, especially Peyton in Denver, right?
Yeah,
you were very limited.
After the neck.
I'd like to know who the next closest to Peyton Manning's absolute ferocity when it comes to details would be. I wonder. You know, maybe you know, Burrow seems like that kind of guy. You know,
yeah.
I wonder if there's anybody close.
Brady had it, but kind of.
Well,
I'm talking about Callahan's experience.
Oh,
in Callahan's experience.
I'm talking about in his journey. Because
yeah, I think it would probably be Burrow. It's. I think you could scratch Carr from that. I mean, I've hesitated to mention Carr because I don't think Carr's clearly fourth of four,
but there's
in
also
the four that he's dealt with.
Sure, but there's also the potential for a surprise, like maybe Jake Brown. You know, he's not that good,
right,
but he's a backup. But maybe he's that guy. Another interesting part of his journey, which we didn't get into, but I think is worth noting here because I like the contrast or the sort of the transition from high school to Peyton. But even Tim Tebow, he had to like figure out a lot of stuff for him. And we're talking about a skill set, very limited in some ways, but also, you know, back then, I think like Tebow in the NFL now might be a little bit more, you know, like there might be more people willing to work with someone with that skill set now than there were back then, right? And of course it didn't work out, but he did have a little bit of success. And I think that's an interesting little nugget of his experience along the way too. You know, Zach Taylor said, and I have been trying to think of this. I'm sure I'm not thinking of someone. But he's like, tell me who would have more, like a better quarterback journey with the different experiences than Brian
Callahan. I think hard to find. Here's another thing. You mentioned this earlier, and I think this is one of the more fascinating things. And one of the more fascinating contrasts. You mentioned that he said, there's always scheme. Right. What was the question?
There's always plenty
of scheme.
He was answering. Well, it was about quarterbacks, but one of the sentences in the answer was, yeah, there's always plenty of scheme. There's always plenty of scheme. But it's about the point being that it's about finding the stuff that they like, right? Which a lot of coaches
talk about. So there's always plenty of scheme. I've talked about him saying the team that passes the best, usually wins the game, which is a joy to hear, right? Well, there's always scheme is a joy to hear, because in Todd Downing's 2 years and in Tim Kelly's 1 year, it certainly didn't look like there's always scheme. It looked like we got plan A.
Right.
We've got plan A, and when plan A doesn't work, we're screwed by our lack of personnel. And I think he's saying, I'm always going to have something we can try, even with limited personnel. And I think Titans fans and media, we were sitting in that press box looking at them saying, why don't you try something? Where's the short passing game? Where's this? Where's that? You're banging your head against the wall with the same stuff. The one game where they gave it to Derrick Henry for 9 yards on 19 carries or whatever it was, his career low. And you're like, is that the best chance you have? And they basically said, yes, yes. The idea that he's going to pop a run is the best thing we've got. Brian Callahan is not going to do that. Callahan says there's always scheme. That is coming to me now is one of the biggest things that came out of this.
I think that's all fair. I would also point out that when they were here 2 years ago to the day the other day, you know, Joe Burrow got sacked 9 times.
Yeah.
They scored 19 points. 10 of those points were gifted to them.
Oh, yeah.
So if you do not have the personnel to block the defensive personnel, you can scheme up whatever you want, and it might not go great for you. So I think that's always worth keeping in mind. Right. Chris,
but they found a way to win that game.
They did.
They did it defensively.
They did. Chris, the text line driven by WilsonHyundai.com. I want to buy, he says, no effing Rex rant with a bunch of question marks. I put in all caps, hey, man, we had Brian Callahan on. And he said nothing preempts it, but I think he was joking.
Yeah, Rex rants are not good when I'm here because of the nervousness. And
that's true.
We had a tremendous guest.
The ultimate ranter.
Multiple reasons not to do it.
We have another great guest coming up. We got Teron Davenport coming up here. Real quick, I want to tell you, tune in to 94.9 The Fan Sunday for Vanderbilt women's basketball. Commodores will be on the road taking on South Carolina. Nick Kieser guarantees a win. Tip-off at 2 p.m. Pre-game begins at 1:45. Coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Show, Teron Davenport, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
ESPN's Teron Davenport, talking Titans, now on Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, well, 15 minutes later than normal, but at that time of the week when we get Teron Davenport on here, ESPN NFL Nation, I'm wearing my Wu-Tang sweatshirt just for this occasion. TD, how you doing?
Hey, man, Wu-Tang is for the people, man. It's been a great morning. Got a workout in, got to look at some film, hear you guys' marvelous interview with Brian Callahan. It's a good day, man.
Yeah, it's all right. So tell us about the film. What are you grinding on right now?
Today was starting out with a little bit of O-line film. Jordan Morgan, I wanted to watch him. He's a guy out of Arizona, a tackle that could be there at the top of the second, probably bottom of the first. So I wanted to check him out. I've been so caught up in this scenario of Joe Alt and Xavier Leggett or Xavier Worthy or a guy like Roma Dunze or Malik Nabers and someone like Jordan Morgan. So it's one of those things where it's like, man, I just wonder how this will play out. Because you know how with Brian Callahan and the Bengals, you know, they had that choice to make Jamar Chase or Penei Sewell. It worked out for both teams. They got Chase, and we saw firsthand what Chase could do in a big game when he had that catch to set up the field goal.
Yeah, actually, you know, that would be – and obviously Brian Callahan is going to give us some definitive answer, but that is an interesting question for him too that I haven't seen asked, which is – basically, is like, do you just buy that playmaker is just, if you have a great playmaker, that's just more valuable than a tackle? Obviously, they went with Chase, but he's such a singular talent.
Also, he was connected to Burrow. There's nobody connected to Levis in the same way. And I think that the degree of import that held in the decision, it doesn't exist in a scenario that plays out here.
For sure.
It obviously doesn't. But I will tell you this, if you watch Roma Dunze, I mean, this guy is an amazing player. You watch Malik Nabers, you're talking, you like Yak City, like with the Yak monster himself, A.J. Brown, you get that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's, yeah, he's not connected, but I tell you, they can get connected really fast.
Teron, I can't believe it. You know, I've covered this team for 25 years, a quarter century of wide receiver insufficiency, and I have to see them take a left tackle.
Yeah, I don't think they have to, but there would be no complaints from me if they took a guy like a Joe Alt, because Joe Alt is instantly plug and play, and those run left hats will be sold in abundance, and everything will be good. But I'll say this, and it's funny you mentioned the time that you've covered this team and the wide receiver deficiencies, because I know we've had so many conversations where I'll text you a guy and you'd be like, nope, he's too small, or nope, he doesn't block. And I would text you back like, yeah, you're right. You know, so it's refreshing to be able to look at this group of receivers and not really have that same mindset, you know?
Yeah, thank you. They're actually a possibility. We don't have to cross them off. That is exciting.
I mean, you talk about quarterback. I mean, let's not forget A.J. Brown and Derek Mason. They're great players, PK.
Yeah,
count
and
them?
Drew Bennett and Nate Washington, too. There's four guys in 25 years. Woo! What a hit rate.
All right, so TD, of everything you've heard from Brian Callahan here this week, what's the most interesting thing to you?
Man, there's so many things, but I have to say kudos to you for asking the question about Derrick Henry. And, you know, Jared had mentioned how, you know, he couldn't believe none of us asked it. I told him the invitation to be there is open to everybody. He could have came and asked it himself.
I also thought it would be fruitless, you know. I honestly did.
Yeah, I thought it would, and that's why I didn't bother to touch it. But, man, the answer he gave, and that's what I like about a true offensive coordinator, is no matter what pieces you have, you're going to figure out a way to make it all work. And that was really interesting that he didn't dismiss it and he actually endorsed it. So that's the thing that stood out the most to me.
Yeah, I mean, I still feel like he's probably a guy who wants two backs who run routes, you know, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It's not like Mixon does a lot
Mixon
of that stuff.
Has some decent receiving.
Has some decent receiving numbers.
Some decent targets.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I thought that was a good answer for sure. Another answer I like, TD, was asked about receivers, and he basically goes right to blocking, which, you know, it put it in PK's face. But what about just, you know, we know the style of we know what the Bengals do, but also that they've changed a lot of things. The good coaches change things to personnel. Like, what do you think will be, you know, the Brian Callahan style of football? Is it like he wants to basically bring that here, or do you think there's anything else about his past that tells us maybe something will be different?
Yeah, if I'm Brian Callahan, the first meeting I have with the team, I bring up the whiteboard and I write whatever it takes. And I think that's the approach that's going to be on offense. When I asked him about balance, you know, he said, yeah, I want balance. But if we got to run the ball 30 times against Team X, we're going to do that. If we got to throw the ball 40 times against Team Y, we're going to do that. And I think that's something that really stood out. And you go back and you look at what they did in Cincinnati. I mean, there were times, you know, PK, you just mentioned Joe Mixon having really good seasons. And that's because when it's time to run, they can run the football. You heard what he said. Don't get it twisted. We're still going to run the ball. You know, you look at times it would be in 12 personnel, right, with Irv Smith and Drew Sample, one of their better blocking tight ends, and they'll run the ball. And then there are other times where you see them in 11 personnel with Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, and Jamar Chase, which is a mismatch against most secondaries, and they'll throw the ball. So there's a lot that they do in different packages and things like that. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he incorporates that. Now, obviously, the personnel is a lot different. But that being said, there's a bunch of money to be spent, and there's high draft picks to be made, so they could bring in some impact players. So I'm looking forward to see how that works.
You think, I mean, we're talking about the wide receiver thing. That's going to be one of the huge topics from now until the end of player acquisition season. I mean, it sure seems like he'd be a guy that craves that. You know, he's going to shape his offense to what he has, but he sure seems like if he can get what he wants right there at the top, is going to be outside weaponry.
Yeah, and that's huge, outside weaponry. You want a guy that could stretch the field, and you want somebody that could do it from the slot. You know, that's another thing that you want, because you look at a lot of the things that it did with T. Higgins, you know, running that slot fade and then doing variations off of that. So Yeah, I mean, I think it's clear this team is going to invest in the receiver position. You know, we won't have the minimal impact that we got last year. And watching this team, you know, obviously Hopkins was a great signing, but outside of that, you know, there really wasn't an influx of receiver talent. Chris Moore, I won't shortchange him. He did have a solid year too, but I think you're going to see a more impactful coming in group that the receivers will give us to watch this year.
Cincinnati generally, am I correct to say that they generally lined up pretty tight and then kind of spread out into width as part of their routes?
Are you talking about like how the alignment and then the route characteristics?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something they did. You know, T. Higgins, a lot of times, like, he would darn near be, like, flexed, you know, and they'll have him release up the seam on that slot fade, and then they would do things off of that. Tyler Boyd, they would use him, you know, and then they have a guy by the name of Andre Ushavis out of Princeton that's a really good receiver. So they would go four receivers sometimes in those tight closed type of splits. And run like smash and that type of stuff, smash like hitch curl or hitch corner rather, and those things that you would see that a lot.
Talking to Teron Davenport, TD, ESPN NFL Nation. Last thing for you, TD. It's all offense. That's all we talked about today, basically, is offense. But obviously, the other side of the ball is interesting. There wasn't a lot yesterday from Brian Callahan on that. Do you think with a coach like this that it's better to have basically, I guess an older, more experienced D coordinator who sort of just takes over as head coach of that side of the ball? Like, how do you think that will go and should go?
Yeah, honestly, if I'm Brian Callahan, I have Wink Martindale on speed dial. He's the guy, and not because he's an older coach, experienced coach, but just because he's an attacking coach. Look at his schemes. Remember a few years ago, they came in here and they blanked the Titans 21-0. It was, they probably blitzed, you know, 60% of the time. And that's what I would want if I'm him, because my game plan would be to get out to an early lead, allow my defense to go ahead and attack, pin their ears back and go after the quarterback, force turnovers, and keep loading that wagon with the rushing attack. That's how I would approach it. But I think what he can do is if he wants to get a guy other than Martindale, you could always go, let's say they go Denard Wilson like they requested, and then you could always go and bring in a experienced coach and just have him in some type of advisor role, but as the assistant head coach. You know, that's something that you could definitely do.
Here's a question for both of you. Jim Leonard's been mentioned a couple times. One of these.
He was a super hot name a couple years ago.
Super hot. Yeah. Now he's just an analyst somewhere.
I've lost track of it.
I want to say with Alabama, I want to say he's an analyst.
Well, if you're an analyst, you're probably at Alabama, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to his fall, but I'm intrigued by the idea. He was the super hot guy at one point.
Yeah, he really was. And his name was attached to so many guys getting head coaching jobs. So that's someone else that I would reach out to.
He's got some connection. I can't remember what it is.
Well, see, that's the beauty of a guy that has spent 13 years in the league and who has a dad who spent, you know, a long time in the league, too. Yeah. There's connect your tentacles, reach out all over the place. So that's something. You look at James Betcher, who was the DC for the Giants. He's a linebacker coach right now for the Bengals. And those linebackers, they've played pretty well. So I think you have that because, I mean, Logan Wilson, 55, is quietly one of the best linebackers in the game. And I'm not saying that Betcher is responsible for that, but, I mean, if he's the position coach, you got to give him some credit.
Hey, he is not at Alabama. He is not doing nearly that well. He is at Illinois.
Interesting. Illinois. Wisconsin guy, too. That is interesting. But, yeah, it's weird how that
– He went from interim head coach at Wisconsin to senior football analyst at Illinois. Of course, something's up there.
Well, there's a Brett Bielema connection. Yeah. You got to remember that. He was with Bielema at Wisconsin, so that's also a relationship thing. Teron Davenport, TD, thanks, TD. Really appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
Yep, have a good weekend.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you soon.
It. Talk to you guys later. Yep.
That's right. Yep. We will talk later. Podding with Andrew, aren't we? In the meantime, we'll be back for Pigskin Pick'em. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Now, it's time for Pigskin Pick'em with Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN, 102.5 The Game, and the Game Nashville app.
Oh, we're getting right down to it here on Robbie and Rex, our 1025-1063 The Game. Pigskin Pick'em is getting very close here. Last week, I went 3-3, 3 points. Robbie went 4-2, got his lock, 5 points, and he locked the Lions. Nick, 2-4, 2 points, which leaves us. Me in first place, 66-60, 8-13 of my locks, 74 points. Nick, second place by a point, also 66-60, 7-14 locks, 73 points. Robbie takes a jump, 61-65, 10-11 on his locks, 71 points. 3 points separate first and last place. It is all coming down to this. It's coming down to this week.
I love it.
And then it's coming down to the Super Bowl, and that's going to decide this thing. So here we go. We've got six picks centered around these two games. Let's start, and Robbie has given us his picks as he enjoys It's a Small World After All right now with Heather and Young Allison. Chiefs at Ravens. Ravens -3.5. I'm so bad at who goes first or whatever. Nick, what's your pick?
Okay, so we'll start off with the Ravens then, you're saying?
All Chiefs right. at Ravens. Ravens -3.5.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Chiefs this week. The Chiefs are +3.5. I mean, I don't like the line for this game personally, but I'll take the 49ers.
I'm also going Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to win this game outright. Call me crazy. The Ravens have been absolutely dominant against especially good teams in this league. They beat the Lions 38-6, for example. They crushed the Niners on the road. I just feel like the Chiefs are sneaky about to pull this off. You're looking at me like I'm crazy, PK.
Oh, I'm just rooting against it. I'm chiefed out. I have a feeling it's happening as well, and I don't love the Ravens either, but I'm sick of the Chiefs, and they're not that good.
I get it. I do get it. It's going to be interesting. Robbie, by the way, goes with the Ravens. All right, over-under on that game, 44.5. Robbie on this one going with the over. I'm going with the under. It's going to be rainy, it appears, in the area. I think it might be a sloppy mess of a game. Nick, your pick, over-under 44.5, Chiefs at Ravens.
Yeah, I want to go under as well, Joe. I tend to agree with you. Didn't know the forecast, but there you go.
I just guess helped you out, didn't I?
Yeah, thank you so much. We were talking about fog and snow the last week. My gosh. I'll take the under in this one.
It has been quite a run.
If it's under, I think if it's under, it's because Baltimore really is under
bogs
20.
Down. Yeah. All right, Lions at Niners, NFC Championship game. The second time in my lifetime that the Detroit Lions are playing in an NFC Championship game. Niners are -7. Let me just start this.
7.5 is what I saw on FanDuel this morning.
I had 7.5 also.
It's okay.
Well, Robbie picked it at 7, so I think we have to stick with it, Robbie. Yeah.
Sure.
So I'm going to go, as you may be surprised, Niners, and make it my lock. Make it my lock. Someone just called Nick. He can't give me the lock signal. Look at him. Look at him trying to multitask.
Yeah!
There we go. There it is. Be ready, Nick. Robbie, Detroit Lions, lock. So, again, we oppose with our locks. Robbie with a lock. Give her a
yeah!
There you go. Nick, Niners or Lions? Which way are you going?
I'm going Niners. I think that Christian McCaffrey and Brock Purdy tossed the ball across the yard pretty well this weekend. So give me the 49ers. My dad would be proud. He's a true Niners fan through and through.
PK, your thought on this game?
I would
real fast?
Stay away from this game betting-wise.
Same.
I'm just scared to death of it. But I think Detroit's going to probably sink out of Detroit.
Wait, probably what?
Sink out of Detroit. That lose their mojo.
Oh, I got you.
Away from home.
I thought they were going to be swallowed up by the earth. Okay, over under 51.5 on this game. Nick, what's your call on that?
I'm going to go under in this game, honestly. That's just the way I lean with it. So don't take that for granted, but yes.
I'm going over. I think it's a nice day out there. I think the offenses are going to dominate the game. Both offenses are great. The Lions defense not very good. Robbie also going over. All right, we have two props to finish this out. First of all, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes accounting for more touchdowns. This is, of course, passing and rushing. Robbie in this game going with Lamar Jackson. I'm also going with Lamar Jackson. Nick?
As am I.
Okay, everybody's wrong.
We got a sweep. We got a sweep. And then, finally, Jared Goff or Brock Purdy, who accounts for more touchdowns? Nick, your answer on that one.
Brock Purdy. I think that's my lock, actually.
Lock. Well, I must say.
Have to make it interesting.
It's really wild because, and the reason I picked this is I just feel like McCaffrey's going to run one or two in, but we also both went with Brock Purdy. How about that? Instead of Jared Goff.
You
and Jared Goff getting, yeah.
Robbie?
We did. Just totally snubbed Jared Goff. Oh, my gosh. You better not let him hear this.
It'll be Goff.
So there you go. Pigskin pick him. And when we come back on Robbie and Rex, well, we will wrap it up. We still have a ton to talk about. 102.5, 106.3 the game. 102.5, 106.3 the game, officially inviting you to our first ever Super Saturday. Join us and come hungry on Saturday, February 10th at New Heights Brewing for all the soup you can handle from some of the finest restaurants in Middle Tennessee. Bring the family, enjoy delicious soup, live music, games for the kids, and more. It's our first ever Super Saturday benefiting the Nashville Predators Foundation. More details coming, including how to purchase tickets. And speaking of tickets, how about we give away some Stained tickets? Stained, April 23rd at First Bank Amphitheater, and let's say caller 4 for those. Welcome into the last segment. Robbie and Rex are 102.5, 106 for the game. PK, Paul Kaharski in for Robbie Stanley, as he will be Monday and Tuesday. And on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, we have Chris. Chris, how you doing?
Christopher.
Hey, guys. Quick question, but before I get to that, I don't know if a lot of people realize that the Zach Taylor and Brian Callahan relationship goes back a long time because Zach played for his dad, Bill, at Nebraska.
Yep.
And I'm a Nebraska alum. And then I remember Brian actually being at the game sometimes, being on the side, being on the sidelines, you know, watching his dad coach and all that stuff. So that's kind of a cool little fact. They've known each other for a long time. My question is what is the likelihood and what would need to happen for Bill Callahan to come here? I'm probably one of the few Bill Callahan fans that come from Nebraska because he was kind of the beginning of the end of the bad football starting at Nebraska, but he was kind of put into a bad situation by that new AD. Anyway, my question is that, what was the likelihood and what would need to happen?
Thank you, Chris. And, yeah, we've talked some about that today. Actually, so I do need clarity. I need you, PK, to give me the clarity on whether if the Titans were to give Bill Callahan offensive coordinator title, I don't know that they would, but would that?
I think they get one on each side of the ball, but you might have to have play-calling power with
for that, to be.
So they might really
not have anything. That changes all the time. I mean, they change this stuff all the time.
They might not have anything on the offensive side to be able to quote-unquote promote somebody. I'm not sure about that. But the days of assistant head coach being enough of a lure, that's done because people abused that
stuff. Yeah, everybody's trying to do these titles.
So maximum of two. They can definitely lure somebody with a promotion to defensive coordinator, the play-calling defensive coordinator. I'm not positive on the offensive side about offensive coordinator. But I do think it is a promotion, viewed as a promotion, even if you bring a position coach to a non-play-calling offensive coordinator job. And the league is looking for promotions and to enable guys to get promotions.
I'm going to stick
Callahan,
with
Callahan. I think there could be a trade conceivably. I don't think it's super costly, but I do think Cleveland would want something of value to consider letting him go.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my belief, my called shot. Bill Callahan will be the Titans' offensive line coach. It does not make sense. It sucks for the Browns. Too bad. You knew this day was coming. But the Browns cannot block Bill Callahan. They can, but they're not going to block Bill Callahan from working with his son. They're not going to force Bill Callahan to keep coaching their offensive line. And that's ridiculous. 6-7 years old, he doesn't have to have this job. This is a dream, you would think, right, for a father and son to be able to do this. I think maybe you're right. Maybe they play a little hardball and say, okay, let's talk a little bit, sweeten the deal for us a little bit. But Bill Callahan will be the offensive line coach
for our sixth.
Yeah, something like that.
If it's not Bill Callahan somehow, and it's not Mike Munchak, then I've got a problem. It needs to be.
Oh,
one
I thought
of those.
You were going to say you got a third candidate.
No,
we never talk about a third guy.
Of those two guys.
What about Jason Hoetling?
It needs to absolutely not be Jason Hoetling.
Who among this staff? We talked earlier about Shane Bowen, which I'm not. Oh, 0%.
I don't understand why that's coming.
What's that?
I don't understand why people are saying why there's so much Shane Bowen.
Well, he's just an example of someone who could be potentially retained. Who of this staff? of Vrabel's staff would you say should be prioritized in terms of retention for Brian Callahan?
Terrell Williams, Charles London.
That's it.
I don't even know that they should be prioritized. Rob Moore? No, absolutely not.
Give me your...
Have you not heard the conversation about the lack of development of wide receivers over the last 25 years, including the last six? Who's developed over the last six? You going to tell me NWI?
Well, no, tell me who... I mean, look, the mark against him, of course, is that Treylon Burks hasn't worked out. So I get that.
Yeah.
He did have A.J. Brown. Did that count or not?
Yeah, that counts.
Corey Davis was better once he got here. Did that count? No? Yes? Does NWI
Corey
count?
Davis played nothing NWA like the number five wide receiver in the draft. Now, that's mostly on Corey Davis.
That's an
I love Rob Moore personally, but I think his time had played out. If Vrabel was back, I was thinking he should be fired.
I mean, to me, NWI.
Do better at all these spots.
NWI is a
do
guy
better
who
at all
never
these
should
spots.
Have been in the NFL, but he's.
They maximized NWI.
Career. Yeah.
Do better at all these
all
spots.
Right, Terrell,
I don't understand Terrell why Williams people are have affection. They hated Vrabel. They wanted Vrabel out. They hated his hiring. And now we're saying, well, maybe they should keep some of his guys.
Well, because, Paul, because just because you may wanted a coach to move on, does that mean you think every single staff member sucked?
No, but this was a pretty bad staff. Tony Dews is a good coach, I think.
Tony Dews is a good
coach, the tight ends weren't very good this year.
So who do you think will be the offensive coordinator?
Oh, I don't know. I can't pretend to know. I'm not going to put a name for it. I like Thomas Brown, but I think he's going to get a job where he calls plays.
Obviously, the Liam Cohen thing, and I agree with what you said earlier, which is I like the link to Will Levis. That's not a bad thing, but
it's not a
maybe
must.
It's a little bit overrated / overplayed.
I think he's getting a lot of hype. And London too, and I'm trying to temper those two things. They're easy people to conclude should be here because of their connection to Levis. But there are probably 10 other guys who are good candidates for Brian Callahan who we haven't thought of or don't know that he's connected to or has affection for, all of that. We just have to wait.
I just want you to make a prediction. West in Clarksville says, why do people always say Derrick Henry's not a catching back? They never ran plays to use him that way. They ran him up the middle 90% of the
Listen,
plays.
Listen, Derrick Henry catches balls facing the ball.
Yeah, he's not a route runner.
He doesn't run the route tree. There's a big difference.
And he won't.
And
it's just how he's constructed. I mean, when you're 6'3", 260, there's a lot of incredible things he can do. That's just not something that he's going to do in this league.
And
so.
He's certainly developed since high school, but his high school coach called him Edward Scissorhands.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely gotten a lot better at catching the football. But he's basically an outlet swing route or screen guy, and you know a lot
that's
of these offenses. It is limiting
to what backs do in today's NFL.
Do you, based on I would not expect Brian Callahan to answer a Derrick Henry question and say, "Yeah, I'm really not big on that dude." No, I wouldn't expect that. But he was pretty enthusiastic with that answer. Do you come away from that thinking? Do you tick it up a little bit at all that Derrick Henry could be welcomed back?
I'll write more about this, but this is a good reason to have me on your show. Derrick Henry doesn't start at zero if they re-sign Derrick Henry here. Derrick Henry already counts $4.73 million against the Titans salary cap because of voided years. So you say, well, sign Derrick Henry to a $6 million one-year contract or a contract that averages $6 million. Well, if you sign Derrick Henry to a $6 million contract, you're signing Derrick Henry to an $11 million contract. So, I mean, I think that's part
They've
of the reason that
space,
makes
Paul.
It unfeasible. They've got cap space, but they need to use it intelligently, not to overpay people.
Do you not think, and maybe you don't, that's fine, do you not think that if Derrick Henry doesn't find anything to his liking that a Derrick Henry, Tyjae Spears combination run back next year in this new offense would work?
I think it would work. I think there are probably better scenarios where that second back is also able to run the route tree. And I think in some ways it'd be healthy. In some ways it'd be good to have Derrick back as a leader. And in some ways it would be good for them to move forward.
Very wishy-washy of you to end the week, PK. Very disappointed.
I'm not expecting Derrick
Henry.
Take
a stand, PK.
I'm not expecting Derrick Henry to be back, and I don't know that it's the best thing for this team for him to be back.
I think you may be right on that, but I, you know, there's still that sentiment, right, that Derrick Henry stays here and continues chasing the Hall of Fame from here.
Yeah,
all right,
you
there's
don't,
a lot
you don't
more
make
we can talk about.
Moves based on sentimentality.
This is true. Thank you for listening, everybody. It's Chase and Big Joe coming up next. And
go eat at Edley's. Don't block the box. Be sure to lock your locks.
Have a good weekend. 102.5, 106.3 The Game.